What up, y'all? You're listening to the Gabacho Borracho U.S. Soccer Talk Podcast with your hosts, Thomas Miller
and Corey Adair,
your go-to podcast for gambling on soccer and hot, hot, hot U.S. men's national team takes. Take it away. Go, go, USA!
Gratefully claims it. Distribution, brilliant. Landon Donovan, there are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, but Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through! Oh, it's incredible!
All right, and welcome back, everyone. We are recording again, finally, for the first time in a few weeks. And as always, your co-hosts at DJ Corfo 7, Corey Dare, here with you. And I'm with my cohorts. How are you guys doing?
Good. Glad it's August.
Yes, and I am at Dan Thomas Miller on Twitter. And then make sure to follow Dan Angel as well, at Dan Angel with two L's. Then the number 11.
Yeah, so we've been off for a few weeks. What's been going on? What have you guys been betting on? What have you been doing? Anything exciting happen? I know me personally, I definitely kind of appreciated the break. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to be back, but I definitely appreciated taking the few weeks off. I think in dead periods, maybe it's something we might explore in the future, doing a little bit more of. But I am very happy to be back. I was texting Thomas a couple days ago saying how excited I was to start recording again. So I definitely appreciate the time off. I'm excited to be back. I tried dipping my hands in some Copa Libertadores and Sudamerica and didn't go very well. So I couldn't be happier that the European soccer coming back. I'm super excited for it. I miss it on my weekends. I can't wait. But That was what I felt about the break. What about you guys?
I mean, for me, just having a major tournament was really nice with the women's Euros and really just the women taking center stage in general. Like right after our episode, the last time we recorded was when the three major women's tournaments got started. And not only was that a lot of fun to watch, like, some of those teams, England, Germany, Sweden, just play such a high level of soccer. But that was also a really lucrative time for me. I mean, Argentina's women came through for me three different plays of the day. I had several totals bets work out for me in the women's Euros. So I've started going into the NWSL to find some wins. And yeah, it's really been a pretty lucrative way to bet. I'm definitely going to be paying a lot more attention to women's soccer moving forward. And moving forward, I'm really happy that European soccer is back, because I've just been so sick of getting MLS'd when the women aren't playing. Like, the women's game, I have pretty well figured out like which way to go. MLS is so random.
Yeah, and the only other thing besides that's baseball, and I can't ever do it. So
baseball is just as random.
Yeah.
It's completely random. Yeah. Like, I started betting baseball this season and started off well, but then, yeah, like I really do think there is something to beginner's luck, because I had the same thing in NBA this year where I started off really well. And then, I mean, it's just been trash lately.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to cap these Champions League qualifiers with teams I've never heard of before and try to put together something. And I mean, it's just been miserable. So I'm happy that everything's back. I did really enjoy as well the women's Copa America, which you touched on with Argentina. But I watched the final between Brazil and Colombia, and it was a really, really solid game of soccer. You know, I mean, a lot more technical and or you know, yeah, technical, mm-hmm. You would say.
Sure.
And I mean, but it still had kind of the flair of what South American soccer is. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of fire going on in that game, and
I want to touch on that too, because I did watch more women's soccer during our break than I had since World Cup time, because of the episode and because I made a concerted effort to consume more of that content. One thing that I really, really appreciate about the women's game is the physicality. They are no joke, no bullshit, tough as nails. If someone goes down, it's a foul. Like for the most part, they're not flopping and they're trying to stay on their feet. They're trying to keep the ball. They're trying to play tough. And it's definitely a breath of fresh air when you watch it.
Yeah. I can only remember one time seeing a flop in the women's game, which was the 2011 match in the World Cup between Brazil and the US. And that one, Brazil paid for it, because during extra time, Erica fakes an injury for Brazil, which leads to the ref adding an extra minute on, and Abby Wambach buries the header to send it to penalties. Had she not faked that injury, the US likely runs out of time and Brazil advances. So, but yeah, I love that flopping is just, for the most 99% of the time, is not part of the women's game. Like, the men could absolutely take a lesson from that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Speaking of flopping, in the women's CONCACAF championships, we got to see another Mexico team completely shit the bed and flop. Created one of the more viral moments in soccer this summer, where a Mexican player just went straight studs into an American player's ankle, got a direct red, and got up and was saying, like, why? It was my first foul. it was one of the funnier moments, because I mean, as far as red cards go,
yeah,
you don't need to look at VAR. You can look at it if you want, but I mean, all it's gonna do is confirm that she stuck her cleats right into the American's ankle. And so then also, Mexico missed out, they had a terrible tournament, so that's always fun to see for us too as American fans.
And then we had the viral moment with the little kid that was the Alex Morgan super fan. I don't know if either of you guys saw that, but when they were down in Mexico before the first match that she played in, there was this little fan just screaming bloody murder, Alex Morgan, Alex Morgan, just absolutely in love with her. And she ended up responding to him on TikTok and got him tickets to the game and went and signed stuff for him. And I don't know, I thought that one was pretty cool. Yeah, but touching on the simulation part, I did that moment was hilarious. Her reaction was super funny. I did also see over the summer, there was one time I did see somebody flop. And I mean, I watched probably 6 or 7 matches, so that's a lot of minutes and only one flop. And those refs don't bullshit with that either. That was an instant yellow card for simulation, and it didn't happen again the rest of the match. I don't understand why men's game can't be a little bit more strict when it comes to simulation like that.
It would do so much for the game if they did.
Yeah, it's definitely like a talking point for the anti-soccer people is the flopping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I've heard Neymar discuss it, where he's getting fouled every time he has the ball, and it's hard for the ref to keep up. So they gotta overreact or whatever. But I mean, yeah, if you're not touched, or you're clicking your own heel and then falling down, I mean, it should just be a straight yellow.
Yeah,
they could easily use VAR for that. I mean, it wouldn't be a long delay. It would just be like,
dude, they wouldn't even have to delay it. That could just be a VAR up in the booth, and then they tell the ref in his ear, hey, it was complete simulation, go throw that yellow at him.
Yeah,
that would stop right away. If you're getting yellow every time you faked something, I mean, yeah, it's gonna stop it right away.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I have to say that I am absolutely looking forward to next year seeing the Women's World Cup and seeing how them going to 32 affects things.
Yeah, that'll be the classic for us anyway. We've discussed the classic format. Mm-hmm. Eight groups of four. That's the one I love too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect format. Mm-hmm. I do wonder about a few of the teams, like specifically some of the Asian and African teams, but I mean, at least they'll have their shot. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it could be pretty ugly to see, like, if say Vietnam goes up against Germany, but I mean, I'll definitely be watching.
Was it Thailand or Indonesia versus?
Yeah, it was U.S. against Thailand, and it finished 13-0.
Yeah, we don't need to see that. I mean, yeah, but they get beat 13-0 in one World Cup. By that next 4-year cycle, them or another team from their region is improved because of the money that it's going to bring in.
So, yeah, I mean, like you pointed out with the Copa America, Colombia has gotten a lot better because of the experience they've gotten and the money they've gotten from previous World Cups. I mean, like, Brazil always wins in that tournament because that's been the only country in South America that's actually invested and has had success. But now some of those other countries are catching up. And, like, to me, it's kind of reminiscent of how Olympic basketball played out, how 1992, the Dream Team would just beat the living tar everybody. Like, the closest game they played was 32 points. And within 8 years, some of those teams were actually giving the United States a game.
Yeah. Yeah. The world expansion of basketball goes directly back to 1992 Olympics. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So, It's great to see, like, I think we have said it on the show that some countries are starting to invest in the women's game and growing it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Europe is doing a great job. Like, UEFA plays a full qualification tournament for both the Euros and for the Women's World Cup, just like they do with the men. And I mean, seeing England finally bring home some silverware, like, that's going to be huge for women's soccer in England.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So with that being said, I think we have some transfer window stuff to talk about. You know, it was a busy summer. Even in the weeks that we were off, there was transfers happening. I think, Thomas, you compiled a list of all the USA men's national team transfers. So do you want to touch on that before we start talking about random transfers that we're excited to see?
Yep, I'll just go through the list real quick, and then after that, anyone you guys want to talk about, we can talk about. Brendan Aaronson went to Leeds from RB Salzburg. Tyler Adams joined him there, so I mean, we're gonna have big American kind of rooting base for Leeds United this year with an American coach as well. Chris Richards also is in the EPL. He joined Crystal Palace. Matt Turner is at Arsenal now. CCV did a permanent move to Celtic. He was on loan previously. PFOC is one I'm sure Dan is very excited about because he joined Union. Horvath got loaned to Luton Town, which League Two, Dan?
Is it League Two? Let's see. I think they are. Let me double check that.
Yeah. Then Luca de la Torre made the move to La Liga from Holland, which
Luton's
I love.
He's actually in the championship. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe they just went up, maybe. But yeah, Luca de la Torre in La Liga, Celta Vigo. Zach Steffen got loaned to Middlesbrough, which is good for him and for us. He's going to start every single game going into the World Cup. Probably kind of says who our number one keeper is going to be. I don't know if Matt Turner is going to get a lot of games at Arsenal. I also have Shaq Moore came back to the MLS from La Liga 2 or whatever. And then Haji Wright, who did get a call-up, right? Yeah, he got a call-up in June. He's at Antalyaspor in Turkey. They're in Europa League. So, I mean, but I think he's going to be a starting striker for them. It'll be interesting to see what kind of season he has.
Yeah, that's who's the main team in Turkey from Istanbul?
Is it Galatasaray?
Yeah, Galatasaray. That's their biggest rival, the team that he went to.
Yep. Yeah, I think Galatasaray is like out. I mean, they might be in the Conference League. I don't think they had a great season last year. I'm not 100% sure on that though. But no, I mean,
I don't think they got relegated.
No, not relegated, but I don't think they made it to like Champions League or anything.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think they made it to international soccer at all.
Yeah. Another one that I've been hearing kicked around is Conrad de la Fuente going to some sort of mid-table La Liga team as well, which I think any move from France to any of those other leagues, even though France is considered a top five league, I guess, but I like these guys going to La Liga. I like them going to EPL. Bundesliga has always been good to Americans as well. I mean, the ones I'm really interested to see is Brendan Ernst and Tyler Adams at Leeds United. I don't know if you guys want to touch on any of the Americans that move.
I mean, I'm just hoping that Ifo can step in at Union and actually do some scoring, because I mean, we lost Iwaniwi to Nottingham Forest, and that's a lot of goals that we've got to replace. So, I mean, hopefully it's going to work out, but I don't know. I mean, it could be another strong season for Union, but this has got to work out if we're going to be in the top half of the Bundesliga this year.
Yeah.
Yep. I think my two, obviously, I mean, by default, the answer is Leeds, you know, with Aronson, Adams, and Jesse Marsh at the helm, you know, big American influence there. So that's obviously a default type of answer. But I think the two things I'm most interested to see is these two strikers that went to bigger leagues, who was it? It was PFOC, and then it was just Hadi Wright. Yeah. So the two guys going to better teams than where they were at, and playing in that competition, seeing if maybe we can find ourselves a nine that's not Jesus Ferreira. And not that I don't like Jesus Ferreira, he isn't a nine like in the way that I want to see us have a nine. But I also am super interested to see the goalkeeper situation play out, because we were really stressed going into the transfer window, knowing that none of our guys were going to be getting minutes by the time the World Cup came around. And now with Zach Steffen getting moved, it looks like we have somebody that's going to be playing a ton of minutes. So I'm really excited to see how that plays out and see how he looks once he gets a starting job. And hopefully he fulfills or comes to fruition with his abilities, because we're going to be kind of SOL if he's not. I mean, we might end up having to revert to Sean Johnson. So
I'm even hoping. A backup, Matt Turner, would do it. One I didn't mention too was Gaga Salina is officially a member of Chelsea. He was loaned back to Chicago for the remainder of this MLS season. It'll be interesting to see. He's probably going to get loaned for several years, to be honest, being only 18 years old. But, you know, hopefully he goes to teams that we can watch him on TV and stuff or whatever. But
yeah. Also, from earlier, Galatasaray finished 13th in the Turkish league last year.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Oh. Yeah.
They went super far in Conference League, though, didn't they? Or whatever.
Let's see. I think they started in the Champions League and then dropped to Europa.
Yeah. That's what I think too.
Let's see. They made the second qualifying round of Champions League, then dropped to Europa from there, qualified for the group stage, and made it to the round of 16.
Yeah. Not bad run.
Yeah. Not bad at all.
I'm interested to see the development of Chris Richards to Crystal Palace. Mid-level team / you know, probably going to be battling a relegation-type season. But I think he can really have a lot of growth, even here in his first couple months, you know, in Premier League soccer. with the John Brooks situation, kind of almost seems like doesn't matter how young he is, Richards, he might be a starting center back.
And on top of it, with Miles Robinson's not going to be back for the World Cup. So
another thing we should mention with American players is that Weston McKennie got a dislocated shoulder or some sort of a shoulder blade injury. He's listed to be out 4 to 5 months, which would take him well past November. So, I mean, that could be a really terrible situation for our squad here.
I can't see him not making himself back by then. Like whether or not he's, you know what I mean? Like if he's at 80%, I don't see him sitting out that tournament.
I mean, if he's at 80%, he can't play the style that he needs to play with the hurt shoulder. I mean, he's physical. You're using your upper body to get in position, especially in the cage matches or whatever you want to call them in the midfield. And if he's not 100%, but I mean, I do have faith that he's a fast healer. He had an injury at the second half of the Serie A season 2. And he even played like the last couple weeks.
He did. He
played some minutes. Maybe got back a lot faster. He's a Texan. He's got that thick pork chop ribeye looking body. I think he's a fast healer. I think he'll be back. I mean, I'm hoping it's back. He really does, starting or coming off the bench or whatever. I mean, he improves our team. So
if there was a line on him making it back by the World Cup or not, I'd be betting on him making it back.
Me too.
So that was all of our U.S. boys transfers that we talked about. Is there any particular transfers that don't have anything related to the United States that you guys are super excited to see and are going to be paying attention to this year?
No more having to defend Robert Lewandowski. God.
Yeah. I'll say that all of Barca's moves.
Fire. Thank God.
Yeah. I'll get into it when we're talking about our futures, but I mean, yeah, Bayern has owned the Bundesliga for so long. It's just, I don't think they're going to drop off, but,
no,
all of Barca's moves, I really think it was like Real Madrid was back last year. Barca and Real had kind of like fallen off, and that's where Atletico kind of like made the surge forward. Real seemed back last year. Very good. Obviously they won the La Liga and Barca seemed like it was kind of lost, but I really think this La Liga season is going to be one of those magical years where Barca and Real are just really good. And then obviously Haaland, the rich get richer. I think Man City is your Champions League favorite. Obviously the EPL league favorite.
Something weird's going to happen. City's going to city somehow.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see that a prolific goal scorer, what kind of goal number? Because like goal numbers aren't in the EPL, they're not what you see in La Liga or any other league, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be a Bundesliga even. Like it'll be really interesting to see what kind of numbers he puts up, how dominant he actually is.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't convert on the chances like the one he missed on last time out, then this isn't going to go well.
Yeah, my favorite TikTok soccer guys, you know, the ones that I've talked about, the one guy is like, there's 30 goals missing when you combine those two players and they've got 30 goals in Haaland. It's like, dude, only two people have scored 30 goals in a season in the last 20 years. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, there is no Paderborn in the EPL.
No, I think the one there's a few that I'm excited to see. The Lewandowski to Barca, that's obviously, you know, interesting. I think it's just interesting in general that both Barca and Pep went out and got true nines in systems where they have predominantly ran false nines. So I think that's going to be something really interesting to watch throughout the entirety of the season. It's going to be cool to see them get used to that. It's going to take some adjustments. It's probably not going to work right away. Maybe with Lewandowski it does, but I still think there's going to be some growing pains in style of play. And then I think another one that's low key for me that I'm really excited to see is Gabriel Jesus at Arsenal. You know, it feels like he was at Man City for so long that he's old, but he's not. and he played so well for Man City, and Arsenal felt like they were just that one little oomph away from, you know, pushing them over the edge from last year. So I think that was a pretty critical transfer, and I'm really excited to see how he blends it into their system.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Any other ones you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about Frankie de Jong getting shafted by Barcelona?
We can talk about nobody wanting Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. And all the comedy that came out of that. Blocking his number and whatever. He's going to end up at Inter Miami or something. But...
Oh, God.
It's crazy, dude. This is crazy how much nobody wants anything to do with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's shown that he's a point. Last two teams that he's touched, Juventus and Man United, the second go around, he's ruined. So, I mean,
yeah,
I can kind of understand. He's aging. He's not what he was. I mean, he could go. I think Corey and I talked about it. That, like, if he were to go to like a West Ham or an Everton, it'd be like the perfect move. It would just be like, he wouldn't be in, you know, top tier European football, but I mean, he would probably make him a top four contender. And it would just be like a fuck you to everybody who doubted him. It could be like his like final comeback story, but I think he's got too much pride to take some sort of.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and transition into the next, which we'll be doing. We'll be previewing a couple leagues here, do some previews and some predictions. So, Dan, with how much you watch Bundesliga, what is your biggest preview prediction type of take about the Bundesliga this season?
I'm thinking that Dortmund is going to slip a little bit. I mean, for the past few years, it's been Bayern, Dortmund, and everyone else is playing for third. And I think Dortmund's going to come back to the pack a little bit with Haaland gone, a couple other moves. I mean, I think Bayern is still going to end up winning the league even without Lewandowski, but I think this might be a time for somebody like Leverkusen or RB Leipzig to make that move past Dortmund and establish themselves as a threat to Bayern's dominance. But I still think Bayern is going to have too much for everybody else.
Yeah, the Bayern is so dominant in Bundesliga that MGM actually offering a future of league winner without including Bayern Munich. So basically, who's going to get second? That's the bet you can make.
They're doing the same thing with the EPL with Man City too.
Yeah, Man City this year, I don't think it's even close. I mean, you know, I really don't. But like, yeah, the team I think that can do it is Leipzig. Love Jesse Marsh and everything, but I mean, from the moment they got him out of there, they had really an amazing run to get back into Champions League, and they got there kind of comfortably. And for that bet to finish second, they're at plus 200. I don't think anybody will overthrow Bayern Munich, but I think they could kind of slip a little too.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer than it's been, but yeah, I mean. They won the title by 9 points or 8 points last year, and they were 13 points up on everybody not named Dortmund. So, and Leipzig's charge last year, that just still stings because we were so close to Champions League football.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we did it to ourselves. Like, the thing that's going to kill me, especially if we drop off a little bit this year and we're not in Europe next year, because I mean, with the moves we've made, Union could compete for a European spot again, or we could fall back and end up mid-table. Both are very possible, but the thing that's going to kill me is we lost out to Leipzig by 1 point last year. We took 1 point out of six off Greuther Fürth.
What happened?
I don't know.
That was the death of you guys. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, Like, all we needed was one freaking win. I mean, to quote Taylor Twellman, what are we doing?
It never gets old.
It doesn't. And I'm very, very happy that we're in Europa League. I mean, that's a great achievement for us. But damn it, it could have been so much more.
Yeah, hey, and on a side note, you know, a little bit of a preview from the preseason, getting PFOC, that goal he scored a few days ago was pretty damn nice.
It was. And on the subject of Union in Europa, we actually get to play at home this year.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's a huge advantage.
Yeah, because UEFA has approved stadiums that have standing room areas for their seating, so which applies to some sections of our stadium. So last year when we were in the Conference League, we had to play all of our home matches at Ertes grounds.
Mm.
So this year, UEFA is actually letting us play in the Iron Fortress.
There you go.
Yeah.
A big advantage, too.
Yeah, we got a shot here.
Yeah.
I think
West Ham type.
Mm-hmm.
Frankfurt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think for my preview prediction on Bundesliga, I think Bayern most likely wins it, but I think the gap is, I think it's going to be a tight one this year. And I think the gap between 2 to 5 is going to be tighter than normal. I think a lot of Bayern's greatness for the last 11 years, a lot of it did have to do with Lewandowski. I truly believe that. And I am a huge Sané fan, Mario Sané, but I don't know, you know, he's getting up there in age, and I don't know what he has in the tank to be the only guy, you know what I mean? Like he was a part of multiple guys at Liverpool, and he's there to replace the guy in Lewandowski.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't think that they're going to be nearly as dominant this year as they were before. But then again, it's still Bayern. They still have amazing athletes all over the field. That left side is going to be probably one of the most dangerous left sides in the world, with Alphonso Davies going this Sadio Mane. It's not fair, really. But
it's really not.
Yeah.
I do think overall it's a closer race this year.
Yeah. And then at the other side of the table, I mean, I can't really see Augsburg staying up. Like, maybe if Pepe establishes himself and Augsburg starts putting some goals home, but it just looks pretty bleak for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah. And so then transferring to the EPL, I guess, you know, since we are kind of like a mid-level, low-level kind of podcast, like, I mean, is it everybody's consensus that Man City wins the EPL?
Yeah. I mean, they'll screw up Champions League, but they've got winning on the domestic league figure.
Yeah, they got to figure it out. I even think like the top four, it'll be interesting. Arsenal's better, I think Liverpool will be there. I think Chelsea will be there. And then Arsenal, Tottenham. It'd be interesting to see somebody like if West Ham or Leicester can, you know, make some noise, but I just really don't think so. Like, what would be interesting to me is the teams coming in, the teams that got promoted, Bournemouth, Fulham, and Nottingham Forest, if they're able to stay up. It's kind of been the thing for a couple of years now, where there's just some tour teams, like we saw with Norwich last year, where they're just up for 1 year. I think everybody in the EPL is just so good. It'll be interesting if those three, you know, can knock somebody out. Maybe Southampton, Brighton, I don't know, somebody like that could be sent down. But I mean, they got big, you know, it's a huge step from the Championship to EPL these days, with so much money in the EPL. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think touching on what you just said, that over the last 6 years, I think every single year, Fulham and Norwich have flip-flopped from getting pro-relled like every other year. So the last year, Fulham got promoted. Norwich got relegated. The year before that, it was the opposite. So logic would say that Fulham's going to get relegated this year, and then Norwich gets promoted again. Basically, is how it's been going, kind of touching on what you said there. I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion. Man City's going to win the league, win the regular season. The top six are the top six, you know, because of their bankrolls, and I don't think you're going to see too much deviation from that. The big five or whatever. Our big four, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, and United. Man United's going to drop off, though.
Yeah, I think United could struggle.
Tottenham is everybody's favorite to be one of the non-top four or five teams to finish top four or five, with them going and getting Richarlison and still having Kane and still having Son and everything. So that one's kind of trendy. I am more looking at the middle of the table. I'm very interested by Newcastle and Leeds this year. Leeds for obvious United States reasons, Newcastle because of new ownership. I'm very curious to see how they go. And I think that they're trending in the upwards direction before the season starts. I'm also very curious, like Thomas was talking about, with if somebody could get knocked off, because I think Brentford is a very prime candidate for that. It feels like last year when Christian Eriksen came back, they galvanized around him, and then Brentford started playing really tough at the end of the year. But without him and him being at Man United, what happens to that team? I'm very curious. And same with Everton. Everton damn near got relegated last year, and they lost their best goal scorer. So,
yeah. And Everton should really be relegated at this point because they lost 4-0, I think, to Minnesota United.
That's automatic.
Send them down to League One after that.
Yeah.
Automatic double relegation.
Yeah. Union Omaha had the best tweet about that. That winning at what is their stadium even called in Minnesota? But basically, winning at Minnesota United is for everybody.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's really.
Yeah, I got to give Union Omaha a lot of credit for like their social media game's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
Oh yeah, I absolutely love. Love it.
Although force of habit, I keep wanting to call him Union Omaha.
Yeah.
As far as the Premier League goes, from my opinion, I think you guys are right that there's almost no way to see City blowing this. And at the bottom of the table, I mean, I think at least one of the promoted teams is going to survive. And I'm leaning toward Nottingham Forest being the one. Like, I think they've made some smart moves to keep them afloat. And there's a few really solid candidates to be relegated. Because, Fulham and Bournemouth, I think, are going to struggle. And then Southampton, Everton, and Brentford, I mean, like you touched on, Corey, like, all of them seem to have some pretty glaring holes that are going to lead to them struggling all season long. I mean, at least two of those five are going to survive, but it's tough to say which two, because I can easily see all of them battling out at the bottom of the table. I don't really think anyone else is going to get sucked into that muck.
Nope. Now, I did say that I think Man United is going to struggle, but I'm very curious to see what happens with the addition of Christian Eriksen. Because yeah. He seems to be a shot of adrenaline to whatever team he plays for.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Newcastle should be interesting this year. Villa will probably be a mid-table side.
Yeah, Villa was another team that ended the year in a pretty upward trend after they got Felipe Coutinho. So that one's another one that I think, based off of the way they finished last year and with the transfers that they closed out the season with last year, just like Newcastle and Leeds, I feel like they were trending in the right direction. So, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stuff. You have anything on La Liga, Thomas?
No, I didn't really dig into it. They don't start for another week, so I might have something for you guys next week on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of already did touch about it, that you think it's going to go back to classic 2000-2010s where the two Titans duke it out in glorious fashion for the year. So we already did kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be great. El Clasico is going to be can't miss. I mean, it's always been, for me, it's always been can't miss, even when they've been down. But I mean, yeah, these games will be great this year.
Yeah.
I will say that I didn't know about Nottingham Forest's addition of what is the
I think it's pronounced Iwani.
He's from Senegal, or
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but they got they got Jesse Lingard too.
Oh no, he's Nigerian. My bad.
Nigerian.
Yeah.
They got Lingard. I did want to make a future on them getting relegated just because the soap opera that Jesse Lingard did to West Ham for the last three transfer windows, where he came on a loan two seasons ago, supposedly fell in love with West Ham, but just basically has used them for the last three transfer windows to get the contract that he finally got with Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, so. And Forest is really throwing money around here. Like, the amount that they paid us for Iwaniyi, they spent $17 million on that transfer.
Yeah.
So
Lingard was a free transfer because he was a free agent, but I mean, they're still paying him like £40,000 a week or something. I mean, it's like a ridiculous salary. You wouldn't expect for a team just getting promoted, but I mean, they got an injection. Yeah.
I mean, I think Forrest is thinking that it's been so long for them since they were up at the top level. I mean, like, I think the last time they were in the Premier League was, what, 1999? So...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think they're thinking that they've got to do whatever it takes to at least get themselves survival this year. And then they'll deal with what comes after that when they cross that bridge.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Fulham and Bournemouth are fine if they have to go back to the championship and then bounce back the year after.
Yeah, I think Fulham has a full-blown comfort level with that because just watching them last year in the championship, they were clearly the most EPL-style team, talent-wise, personnel-wise, play skill set-wise, in the championship. I mean, you see a lot of those matches devolve into skyball, but you never see that with Fulham down there. So I don't think they have much stress about how easily they can get promotion if they ever do get relegated.
Yeah.
And it's interesting on the same hand that, Bournemouth and the Cherries and Fulham were easily the best two teams in the championship last year.
Right.
Nottingham Forest, really, like, about mid-season, they were more worried about getting relegated than they were ever thinking about promotion. But they went on, like, a crazy run towards the end of the season and got into the playoff and then won the playoff.
Yeah.
But I mean, with their additions, I think – I don't know. I mean – I would like to see Fulham stay up for American reasons, obviously, but like, that'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right now, Nottingham Forest is +125 to get relegated, Fulham +150, Brentford +275.
Yeah.
Leeds is only +200.
+200, yeah. Everybody's +100.
I'd hop on Southampton there.
Yeah.
+275, that looks like really. Really good odds for a futures play there.
Bournemouth is -225. They're the only.
Yeah. Play. Yeah. I think MGM's got that line right. I don't see Bournemouth making it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, there's our previews and predictions.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Thomas Miller, from the Gabacho Borracho U.S. Soccer Talk podcast and proud member of Coda Capper's Sports Gambling Network. Gabacho Borracho is honored to be sponsored by Bet Coda Sportsbook. Bet Coda Sportsbook is a South Dakota-owned and operated sportsbook located in the Midnight Star Casino in Deadwood, South Dakota, serving customers in the state. As you enter the Midnight Star, you are swept into the past with a grand staircase, stunning woodwork, and the elegance of a chandelier. They offer the best lines in Deadwood, so stop by and mention the Coda Cappers Sports Gambling Network to receive a free Bet Coda t-shirt. Guys, I've seen these t-shirts, and it's, knowing that I could get one for free, it's making me want to drive there right now. Do I live 6 hours away? Yes, I do, but it's worth it. So make sure to swing by, mention Coda Sports Gambling Network, and you will receive one of these sweet free t-shirts, Bet Coda t-shirts. As always, play responsibly, must be 21 years or older to wager. Gambling problems or concerns, call 1-800-522-4700. Now back to the show.
So we're going to go ahead and toss it around, and we're going to do one hot take prediction for the season from everybody. So we'll go ahead. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I mean, this is probably just going to turn into like Homer Central hot takes. I don't know. I mean, mine is at least. I'm taking West Ham United top four finish at plus 1600 as my future bet and my hot take. I like our additions. You know, at this moment, we have three additions in Naif Agarud. He's a center back, which, you know, cleans up one of the things that we needed. He already turned his ankle or something. I don't know if he's going to even be set for the opening of the season, but got a second striker as well, Gianluca Scamacca from Sassuolo in Serie A. And then it's like soccer rumors are one of the stupidest things in all of sports, but
yeah, the
like
the single most toxic thing in sports.
Yeah. But this is like,
I don't know. Big Ten expansion is getting close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Onana, who's a Belgium, midfielder who plays at Lille right now. It's like, it's beyond a rumor. Like I'm pretty sure they're just working out the contract. So he won't be available this weekend, but I mean, here in a couple of weeks, so he should be available. Hopefully it goes through. Lil definitely wanted to move him. He was rumored to Leicester and I think Newcastle. Newcastle's been on everybody's rumor list with all the money they got, but it sounds like they'll get him. Then also Flynn Downs from Swansea City coming up from the championship to West Ham. I really think this team will be interesting. I mean, they didn't lose Declan Rice. Really only guy that they lost is Mark Noble, who really wasn't playing a lot in the Premier League to begin with. He was just kind of almost like a player coach. So, I mean, be the same team. They got some additions. They finally got, you know, hopefully Scamacca plays as good as he looks because he's a very handsome man. that's kind of like one of the main things that West Ham was missing, where, I mean, when Antonio had it, he was like great, but there were games where it was obviously that he wasn't going to.
What were they missing? Good goal scorers or handsome men? You didn't differentiate.
We got a lot of handsome men on this. The supporters are very handsome as well, I might say. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the second striker, I mean, if Antonio starts or if they can run two up top or something a little different, I mean, I think it'd be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing from the transfer window for West Ham is that they got somebody so they don't have to play Cresswell. So that feels good.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
No, I think this isn't my hot take, but this is something that I'm definitely making a play on. I'm not going to go to the top four, but top six feels pretty good. I feel West Ham in the top six is a pretty smart play. My hot take is going to be that Manchester United does not qualify for European football next year.
Okay. Wow. So that's,
I can definitely see that.
Eighth place or worse at this point? Eighth place,
yeah,
or worse?
That's eighth, yeah.
They
yeah.
might sneak into that last spot for
the Conference League.
Yeah, yeah. But guaranteed, they're not making Champions League or Europa League guaranteed. They might sneak into the last place of the Conference League, but I'm going
to
go out.
To clarify, in Europa League, you're throwing out that doesn't count against you if it's via a cup win.
Correct. I'm talking about they're not going to finish in the top eight.
Yeah, that should not count against you if United makes Europa League because they win the FA Cup or something.
they're not winning any silverware this year.
Probably not, but if enough teams don't take it seriously, they could make a run and something weird could happen there.
I know they got Christian Eriksen, but they didn't add anybody on top. They can't figure out the Cristiano Ronaldo situation. Their best, you know, one of their best attacking guys is Bruno Fernandes, who's been fucking trash. They're a hot mess at this point, you know. Rashford just doesn't get into a groove. Maybe losing Ronaldo helps Rashford get better, and maybe the addition of Eriksen helps him get better. But it's not like Eriksen's young anymore. He's 30. He's going to be 31. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see this team as an over the hill team that paid money for the guys that they like, and the guys that they like never came to fruition, and now they're about to reap, you know, sow what they reap.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Man U is that do you remember that moment where there was a kid who for Leeds, I forget his name right now, but he got tackled by Eriksen and he got up and he wanted to fight him. And then he realized it was him. They're both on Man U now.
They are.
Yeah. They're both. They signed that guy too. I don't remember his name. And I don't want to look it up at the moment. So, I mean, but yeah, I saw them, welcoming Eriksen to camp the other day. So
that was one of my favorite moments from the entire season last year.
Yeah, it was a really cool moment.
All right, Dan, what's your hot take?
All right, my hot take is at halftime during Nebraska Northwestern, Kevin Warren announces that Shamrock Rovers is going to join the Big Ten. No, I'm kidding. All right, my actual hot take is that Dortmund slips out of second place and opens the door for Leverkusen to finish second behind Bayern, which I think is a really nice play at plus 550. And then my other hot take in the Premier League is I think Southampton's getting relegated this year.
Yep, that relegation one at plus 275 has got some nice value to it.
Yeah, I think the Saints I think in consecutive years now, they've had games where they've given up 9 goals in a match. Like, eventually their luck's going to run out.
Yep. Yep. All right. So I have plays for the weekend, like regular, you know, weekend plays, but I'm also going to throw out a couple futures that I did. So if we want, we can do our futures first and we can go into the plays of the week. My futures, I've already made these plays and I'm probably going to add a couple more, but Arsenal to finish top four at, where is it at? Arsenal is plus 150 to finish top four. I am making that play. I think that they finish and I think that they qualify for Champions League next year by finishing top four. That whole Gabriel Jesus thing, that's exactly why I feel that way. I feel like they were one piece away last year from making a run to get to top four, and they almost made top four even without that one piece. So insert Gabriel Jesus, and I think that they do finish top four this year. Another one is going to be West Ham top six because of my Manchester United hot take. I think West Ham is one of those teams that supplants them and finishes higher than them. So I think that top six at plus 400 is great value.
Yeah. I've already thrown all mine out there, but I'll run through them real quick. Total Dart, West Ham, top four, plus 1600. What Dan is saying, my team to – but I do think Dortmund does slip out a second. My team to supplant them is Leipzig, plus 200. And then, I'll say it. Even though in the show I actually have had my mind change, but I wrote it down, so I'll say it. Nottingham Forest relegated, plus 125. And it's going to be the curse of Jesse Lingard for being such a diva. It's growing West Ham, so that's what's going to bring him down. Those are my futures.
Okay. And I touched on one of mine, taking Leverkusen to finish second at plus 525. I think the value there is just too good to pass up. And then elsewhere in Germany, I think that Werder is actually going to survive, and I'm going with Augsburg at even money to get relegated. I just don't see it from them this year.
Yeah, I think Schalke has a chance to stay up too.
I, I think both of them promoted teams actually have a chance to hang around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, like unlike last year, like I mean, Augsburg is probably the closest thing to what Greuther Fürth was last season.
Yep, it'd be interesting. Yeah. Stuttgart too was like on the brink, right?
Mm-hmm. No, Erto. Stuttgart managed to get out of the playoff on the last day, and then
on the last day, yeah,
Erto fell into the playoff and had to save themselves the final day or in the second leg against Hamburg.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean, though, that they were kind of on the brink. So, I mean, they had that amazing moment celebrating on their field and on the pitch and everything. But, like, there could be another team that could possibly be, you know, struggling again this year. So then we all made our futures. Let's go ahead and get into our plays for this weekend.
All right.
All right. I already have mine made. I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 3 parlays that'll keep you entertained throughout the entirety of the weekend. And then I have 1 straight bet. A couple of my parlays have lines in them that I'm probably going to put in as straights as well. But I'll go ahead and start with, let's see, what's the date today? The 3rd. Let's see if I have anything that's just on the 5th. I have a Bundesliga parlay, 2-leg parlay that takes place Friday morning or Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. So got some on both days. I'm going to take Bayern Munich on the road money line at -250. I'm parlaying that with over 3.5 goals in the Dortmund Leverkusen match at -110. And that comes out to +167.
I really, really like that Dortmund Leverkusen play. Bayern scares me in this match because Frankfurt, for some reason, saves their best for facing Bayern. Like the past 4 matches between them, Frankfurt has actually beaten them twice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually my play I've written down. Frankfurt double chance at home Friday afternoon against Bayern Munich +185.
Wow. At least one of us will be right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, +185 for a double chance at home. Frankfurt's a good team playing Champions League football this year, I believe, right? And
yeah, because they won the Europa League.
Yeah, I mean, Bayern's got a lot of, you know, new pieces that if a team's going to struggle, you know, you want to play a team like Bayern or Man City in the first weeks. You don't want to play them in November when they got this year.
Schalke would disagree with you on that one. I think I remember that finishing, 8-0 to Bayern?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could happen too. But, I mean, I just like Frankfurt, their home atmosphere. What's the thing? Like, they struggled at home in the Bundesliga last year. But their home atmosphere against West Ham was, like, insane. It was, like, very impressive. I would not want to go play there. But, yeah, I got them double chance, +185.
Yeah, they really did struggle in – Bundesliga at home last year. In 2022, 1 win, 3 draws, and 6 defeats. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. It's such a good atmosphere, you know.
And to make even less sense, last year Frankfurt loses their first match to Dortmund, draws their next 5, and gets their first win of the season at Bayern Munich.
They're crazy. You say the MLS is unpredictable. But,
I know. Yeah. Usually, like, Frankfurt's, like, the one exception.
You froze for a second there, but
we didn't lose you this time. So
didn't lose you this time. Came back.
Progress. Yeah, I was saying Frankfurt's, like, the one exception to the more easy-to-predict Bundesliga as opposed to MLS. Like, Frankfurt's just nuts.
Yeah. All right. So is that the play that you're going to use for your first play, Thomas? The double chance?
Yeah. That was my first play, yeah.
Okay. Dan?
All right. So I'm really worried about this play because Arsenal traditionally does not get off to a great start. but I'm thinking that they win this match because I think they come out ready to go after Palace embarrassed them the last time they played. So Arsenal minus 130, I think, is the play here. I'm, like I said, very worried because I went the other direction last year in Arsenal's first match and Brentford smacked them and I cashed that one pretty easily. So I'm hoping that Arsenal is actually ready to go this season, but we'll see.
Yeah, I actually have that line in two different parlays, so I'm with you on that one. But go ahead.
Matt, I mean, it's just going to seem like I'm like the antagonist, devil's advocate in all these bets because my second play is actually Crystal Palace double chance. For the same reason.
It could definitely happen. Arsenal has a history of botching the early games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
All right. So, for my next play, I'm doing a same game parlay with the Leeds-Wolves match. I'm going to take Leeds double chance at home. And then I'm also playing both teams to score. And that comes out to plus 125.
Yeah, my second play is, I already mentioned, I'm going to do Palace in the draw, minus 110. And it's just that even the good Arsenal teams have always had like a kind of tough time in August. And last year was, you know, that does kind of actually make me doubt my play, that how bad they did start the season last year, they probably don't want to run that again. So, but I am going to play the Palace in the draw at minus 110. Sorry for going against you guys. We should have.
Yeah,
one of us is going to be right. So one of us makes money this weekend.
Yeah. All right. After all the time I spent talking about them getting relegated, to me, this only makes sense. I'm going to fade Augsburg here and take Freiburg plus 115 money line this one.
Love it.
Yeah. Freiburg's got a good history against Augsburg anyway, and I just think Augsburg is the weakest team in the Bundesliga.
All right. And with my next play, I am following your lead in your thought process, and I am fading Bournemouth, and I'm taking Aston Villa money line at even money.
I'm doing the same thing on one of mine.
Rock and roll.
Hey, real quick, am I at least saying that name right? Since it seems like I always fuck up the EPL names. Is it Bournemouth?
Yeah, it's Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Huh.
Bournemouth. My next one, the cherries. Yeah, that's what I call them too. I'm tagging on to the one of Corey's plays. I wrote down the both teams score on Leeds and Wolves. Of a yes, both teams score minus 128. Also interesting. Which would have to come true if Corey's same game parlay is going to hit. The over 2.5 is at plus 102. So either one of those. Both teams score. For sure.
All right. And Dan?
All right. Well, this one seems pretty obvious, that it was going to be on my card. But I can't go with the total because we tend to score a lot of goals against Erta. So I'm just going to go for the win and take Union minus 130 money line against Erta in the Berlin Derby.
There you go. All right. So I have two parlays left. I'm saving our favorite style parlay for the end. And I am actually going to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that Arsenal play that we discussed. I'm also, because of my same game parlay, over 1.5 in Leeds and Wolves is minus 300. So it's a good parlay booster. Parlaying that with the Arsenal money line. And then on top of it, I'm taking under 3.5 goals in the West Ham Man City match at West Ham. That thought process is how I said it's going to take time to figure out how to play with an actual nine. It's going to take time to get that chemistry. So I think that there's a good chance that you see a more lower scoring final in that matchup. When you parlay those three together, it's plus 354.
All right. So my last play that I have, I'm going to smash together the Man United and Tottenham money lines. They're both heavy favorites, both at home versus possible drop zone teams. So those two play together is at plus 113. Tottenham plays Southampton at home.
Yep.
Man United plays Brighton Hove Albion at home.
All right. I'm going to do something similar for my next one, except instead of Man United, I'm pairing Liverpool with Tottenham.
Very good.
That comes out to minus 140. I wish it was a little bit better, but yeah, I think Liverpool against Fulham and Tottenham against Southampton are both pretty solid plays. I might also just to try to get to plus money. Let's see. Yeah, I might throw Chelsea in there as well to get it to plus 175.
I'm piggybacking off that, so I approve.
Okay.
All right, we're starting the season off right, boys. We got a slut parlay. We are taking Arsenal and they're all road sluts, so this will be fun. Arsenal money line, Liverpool money line, Chelsea money line, Man City money line at plus 416.
Oh, nice.
What were they again? Same again?
Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City. The teams I'm predicting to finish top four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus 416. Got to do it.
Yeah.
You get the value because they're all on the road.
Yeah.
It makes some sense. I mean, obviously, I mean, not really a play Thomas wants to make, but.
I think we lose like 5-0 or 5-1, to be honest.
I think it's going to be at worst 2-1. At worst, like bad loss, at worst 2-0. Most goals 2-1. I think it's going to be a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
I mean, West Ham usually plays City pretty tough.
At home, they play solid defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 1-0, 2-1 is probably a good play, pick there.
Yeah. I'll be happy with that. I told Corey last week that I'm going to be celebrating the first Gianluca Scamacca goal in like the 84th minute to make it 5-1. 5-0, and he's going to score his first goal. We're going to go streaking.
All right. So this is going to be my dart play of the week. So, I mean, after I've hyped them up to finish second, I mean, why the hell not? Leverkusen and over 3.5 goals plus 475 against Dortmund.
I like the high scoring potential of that one. So yeah,
I mean, these two put up a lot of goals against each other, and I think Leverkusen's better.
And at home.
No, I think it's at Dortmund.
Wait, no, it's at Dortmund, but still.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't want to get too crazy there, Leverkusen at over 2.5 is still very good value at plus 280, and both the score plus 333. So
there you go.
Even whatever way you slice it, I think there's a lot of value out of that match.
Yeah, I want to say that Corey and I both played in March. It was either like an over 2.5 for Leverkusen versus Dortmund, or both teams to score or something, and like we hit it in like the first 15 or 20 minutes.
First 15, yeah. 16 minutes and like 47 seconds.
Yeah,
they love to score against each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The play was over 2.5 and both teams to score, and it was 2-1 after 15 minutes. Yeah. That was awesome. Glorious. Easiest
minute ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I went back to sleep after that. But all right, well, any more play? I'm out of plays. Are we all out of plays?
I might have one more. I'm checking the line really fast to see if it's out. Let's see. All right. Okay, just because I have to, KTP money line minus 155 we're facing the worst team in the Eakinen. So we really need to get this win if we're going to make a push for promotion.
Sounds good.
I know. I mean, we have the best goal differential in the Finnish second division, and the team we're facing is has the second worst goal differential. So I think we've got a good shot at getting a win here.
I agree.
The Finnish league takes a winter break, correct?
Yes. I mean, let's be honest. It's really freaking cold up there.
Yeah.
The Finnish league has been playing their actual season. It's like on MLS's calendar, pretty much.
Right. Gotcha. All right. So,
with that being said, I think we're good to go. Excited to track our plays. Excited to have some soccer on in the mornings on the weekend. Sports are back, guys. Sports are back.
Yep. We're through the abyss.
Yep, we made it. Imagine being a non-soccer fan and you're looking forward to the Hall of Fame game. preseason NFL is like, it's great until like one snap. And then you're like, oh, yeah, the starters come out.
Preseason NFL, always bet the first half under.
Yeah.
You and PG are on the same page with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great to be back, making shows for you guys again, and make sure to, stay posted to our social medias. We could be potentially looking at once college football gets underway Saturday morning, some type of soccer live watch, college football preview sort of thing. So
we give you everything game day does, and we give you soccer analysis. What's not to love?
Yeah, it's gonna be great. But we're still kind of working out the details, so just like I said, keep an eye out on all our Twitter accounts, and when we have it all ironed out, we're gonna post it.
Yeah, reiterating Thomas there, it feels great to be back. I absolutely love doing this show. Super excited for the season. Super excited to see our boys play overseas. Try to get, in form before November, because that's what it's all about. So,
yeah. Speaking of national teams, did you guys see the women's friendly that got announced for next month?
England.
Yep, U.S. England. Yeah,
that's going to be great.
That'll be fun.
Wow.
Yeah, European champions versus
world champions.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I think
going
all out. I think both teams really kind of want to make a statement in that game.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that being said, too, I wanted to touch on a couple things real quick before we get off here. We're gonna be having some, live watch parties coming up. We're gonna be doing some live streams on the weekend. There's going to be a couple times where there's going to be live streams on Saturday mornings where we kind of mix the college football soccer stuff. So we'll be watching soccer, but we'll be talking college football. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. We're going to be collaborating with another podcast in the network coming up soon. Yeah. There's a lot of exciting stuff that's going to happen between today and November. So stay tuned. We'll keep everybody posted as we make these plans. Super excited about it. Give a shout out to the network, of course. Whatever sport scratches your itch, there is a podcast for it within this network. So you definitely want to check out at Coda Cappers and go through their lineup, blogs, picks, tweets, podcasts, you name it, they got it. So go ahead and everybody give that a shout out too. With that, we'll go ahead and let you all go, and we will see you next week.
Yeah.
Peace.
Bye, guys.